What's up, world?
What's up?
I'm not gonna say the line, but it's been a while.
Yeah. And who are we? Well, I'm Sky. I'm Fly. I'm from the ATL, where the players dwell. Currently in the Wild West. You know we who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills. VA all day, two up, two down, chilling in finally sunny Los Angeles.
And who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
So this week we're going to talk about, I guess, the first 2 weeks of the NWSL. Then you'll hear some audio from the Challenge Cup game where Nubia covered.
Oh, yeah.
And then audio shout out to Nubia. When Sills was at the Gold Cup W final. And then we'll talk about the She Believes roster and then be done.
Okay. I'm sure we'll bring the people our hits and riffs.
Yeah, eventually.
Okay, or not. Yeah, sure. It doesn't have to be a bunch of songs, but yeah.
Okay. So let's go. The NWSL started March. Well, the first actual 15th. After the goal, the Challenge Cup game. Jesus Christ, man. After the Challenge Cup game, against Gotham in San Diego.
Yes.
It started on the Saturday, where the Current played the Thorns.
Yes. On ESPN, it was the first ESPN game for the new TV deal.
And then, so you remember the Current won 5-4
in a chaotic game.
Very chaotic game. Super chaotic. That was really dope. Yeah. Who was that?
We had Rossing and Pride. Ended up tied. Louisville jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and then Orlando came back despite being down a player. And that red card was probably questionable, but there was also one that they missed in the game that probably should have happened. So it on that day, it balanced out. And then we had our beat them down of the first weekend. The Courage hosted Houston Dash and won that game 5-1, and North Carolina scored all 6 goals.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. You got the next one.
And then Utah beat the Chicago Red Stars 2-0. And then
yeah,
your team,
the Seattle. My team. Bless them. They won 1-0 like early. We scored in like the second minute off of a penalty. It was a penalty, by the way. And then Aubrey Kingsbury got a red card in this match. That was later rescinded.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Angel City lost 1-0 to the Bay. After having 50 billion shots that didn't go on the goal.
Yeah, we were at that game. That game was just football, but God, was it fun to watch Oshawa and Gordon go at it.
Go back at it. And then in week 2, Orlando and Angel City drew in a game that needs to be thrown in a dumpster fire.
Simply Marky Marta would have been.
Yeah.
A win.
Angel City actually played better.
The greatest player ever, just mark her. I don't know.
But Marta was not marked and scored the tie.
Free as she was all game, and then she took advantage of it.
Utah played North Carolina and won 2-1.
Which was a wild game because there was like 2 penalties back to back. That was a wild game.
Yeah, that North Carolina could have won that game. Then Chicago. Yeah. Beat the Seattle Rain.
Again, just defensive.
2-1.
I don't even know what I don't know. 2-1. Yeah, Chicago. We'll talk about them in a second. But yeah.
And then the Washington Spirit beat the Bay. 2-1. And Cora Bethune scored her first goal at the last minute.
I'm going to say friend of the pod because we've talked to her. So, yes, Cora Bethune and Hal Herschel. Both rookies scored for the Spirit.
And then Houston Dash Wait, in Race in Louisville, we're 0-0, but Raylan Turner probably
should score. A 0-0 draw that had, like, double-digit extra time. I was like, stop it.
Yeah, Raylan Turner should have scored because she had all the shots on goal.
And I need to talk about her real quick. And then, this one.
San Diego Wave lost to Wabe. Casey Current.
In at San Diego. Home, where Lola Bonta scored a penalty.
2-1.
And we're not allowed to celebrate.
Wasn't allowed to dance, yeah. And then Portland lost 1-0 to Gotham.
Yeah, I would argue probably slightly against the run of play. Also, it was absolutely offside, but man, sometimes if a goal is that good, it's just got to count. Sophia was just out there. It was definitely hack of Sophia. We got to finish your chances, so. Yeah, that was the first 2 weeks of the NWSL.
So with the NWSL, I guess if we look back at all the games so far and teams. Yeah.
I think Diaspora calls it a vibe check. We won't take that. But yeah, let's just check in and see how we feel after 2 weeks.
Will we talk about the Kansas City Current? They're better than they were yet last year. But it will be interesting to see when they play Angel City. Because they've been getting away with a lot of stuff. And Vlatko is bringing his tactics of just basically sitting back when they have the lead. And yeah, they've been getting away with then the onslaught. They're putting five in the box.
And I think with them, it's going to be interesting because we got all these big international signings, but Chalangham aren't beat the best one.
Yeah. If he plays, if he doesn't kill Bia and Chawanga.
Bia is also very good, and she's bigger than everybody else.
Yeah. But my question for them is, what do they do when they play a team that is really organized in the back, and then they don't let up? Like, because they'll look good, and then, like, defend. Like, they do this Vlatko bullshit where they, like, try to absorb getting hit, and it's like, are y'all trying to win the game?
They give up goals. Like, I feel like that's going to be true for them most of the year, but AD also looks like AD, so that will probably help them. Also, you said organized defense, or I mean, we'll talk about your team in a minute, but is that the team? most of the game, yes, but
I don't know. With Portland,
they looked better week two.
Yes.
In terms of defense. Like, I actually thought that defense looked a lot better and that defensive back line got older. Like, they put Becky in. They were like, we are going to be adults back today. Yeah. And that was just a good goal by us there. Like, it was that was one of the few chances legitimate chances Gotham had. And she's efficient and she put it away as she should. But yeah, I'm not sure with Portland. I wonder, they've never started with two losses before.
Oh, they're about to figure it out. They're definitely not putting a bunch of youth on the back line. Rewind it. A lot of people who've never played together and then haven't played in the league.
That's a better way to say it. Was just
not a good idea. That's how they got worked.
Especially against the Kansas City attack. Yeah.
And then figuring out how are you running your attack? Because it's like all on different pages. And you're just praying Sophia Smith can put balls in the goal.
They said, shout out to Sophia Smith, who today re-upped through 2025 and is now the highest paid player per year in the league.
Yes.
They should probably pay her more, whatever they're paying her right now. They should pay her double. Because that is Sophia and them girls.
Yeah, because they need to find a game plan. Not trying to run it through Christine St. Clair was an improvement.
And I thought the role they had her play in the second game was a lot better. I think Janine Becky's been really good for them, actually.
Yeah, Janine Becky was really good. They'll have to figure some stuff out. It'll be
Start Hina Sugita. That would probably
help. That probably helps too, yeah.
Start that one was very confusing. You can't play, I think I saw somebody else say this and I agree, you cannot play Fleming and Moultrie at the same time. They want the same space.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I guess that's why I guess that's why the coach was in the skybox looking at.
Is he gonna be in the skybox much longer if they keep losing?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Because you got Sophia out here going to the beaches and shit to decompress after
every week. Games. I'm like, damn, girl. You all right?
Yeah.
And we know she's been through it because I know we're probably recording, you know, a few weeks after the Gold Cup ended. But man, when she scored that goal in the semifinal, I was like, I ain't never seen somebody need a goal the way she needed that goal.
Yeah.
She needed that goal.
For Rice and Louisville, I mean, that's just really got to put the balls in the nets.
Bev has definitely changed up some of what they do, right? There seems to be buy-in. Obviously, I think players run through a wall for her. I think, I'm going to say her name wrong. Colombian, Alexa. Bar. Has been good for them. Obviously, Ari, I think, is still coming back from injury. Ari Borges, if I'm not mistaken. But I think Rylan Turner's selection went a bit under the radar, but she can pass. Passing is really good.
Yeah. And she also...
she's good.
It should be creating chances, yeah.
Yeah, she's a good football player. That was a sneaky good get by Louisville. They have a sneaky good team, but also start Jalen Howe.
Oh, yeah, that too. So, honestly, with them, they just need... They're going to click. It's going to take them a couple weeks. They'll click. Similar to, I guess, Orlando Pride just needs healthy people. And
yeah, that'll help them.
Backline.
And Barbara Banda.
And Barbara Banda, yeah.
I'm sure. I know y'all are happy y'all have to deal with the Barbara Banda version of the team right now. Particularly with the
injuries that going on. Yeah. But, yeah, they just need a... Orlando just need healthy people, and, yeah, they'll be all right. They look significantly better than what they did last year. North Carolina, I mean, shit. Started off hot.
To me, after week one, I was like, ooh, they might be the team. I think they'll have a few of the games like they had against Utah. It happens no matter how good your team is. But I think that team's going to be good. And... Ashley Sanchez, I get no minutes last summer. None. Not a single one. All right. Okay.
Yeah, but
Ashley, salute her revenge tour. Good for her.
Yeah, Ashley Sanchez looks good. They're picking up from where they left off.
Haley Hopkins looks good. I think she definitely took a step in the offseason. I'm going to get so much trouble for this. The feminine energy is real. For North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
I suppose.
Bianca St. George looks good. Everybody
she was out
good.
Here.
Everybody looks good and they playing really well. I mean, literally their loss was similar to another team's loss from week one.
You convert your chances.
Football happens.
Football happens, and also really sad. We wish her a speedy recovery or a full recovery, but Imani Dorsey unfortunately ruptured her Achilles in that match. So we wish her well.
So I guess with Utah, they're a new team. They're going to take Tom and Jill. It's going to be interesting to see what they do because they don't have Imani, who was playing really well for them. And I guess you just give it to Sittner and shoot.
People were really high on her, and obviously she was the number one pick. I admit I did not get a chance to watch her a lot. She might be her. She might be her.
She'd be the one.
respect where respect is due.
Even when you look at their passing lanes, they're just trying to jam up the midfield and throw bodies on people. So
their game plan is fuck it, sitting her up there somewhere.
Yeah.
And I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect that game plan every time. So yeah, but it'll be interesting. I think that'll be an up and down season. That's still an expansion side. I think the California teams have sort of given people a false sense of that's not normally how expansion teams play.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting for that team. They don't really have a superstar. They might make one in Sittner, but they don't but they don't have one at the moment. And that's not really how they chose to build. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting. It's A-Rod's first year as a professional coach as well. So I think it's going to be a lot of, we're going to grow together. And next year might be the year where you're ooh, they might make some serious noise.
And then for Chicago, They look really good.
Chairs FC, baby.
They look really good. They will figure out how to make it work whenever. Playing, defending well. I mean, figuring out how to score. And yeah, they look.
Hey.
For the retool job, they look good. So shout out to Lauren.
They do. That defense looks exceptional. Or very good. Not exceptional, but that defense, like, it was a banger that beat them. Yeah. And that's the first goal that got scored on them this year. They still have Alyssa Nair, who is, listen, and I'm not saying it's you because I know you don't feel it, but like, Alyssa Nair was like, I heard everybody talking shit.
Wasn't me.
let me remind y'all who the fuck I am. And I deeply respect that for both club and country. And yeah, I think that Chicago team very much plays like Lauren Donaldson coaches. Like, that is that's a Lauren Donaldson team. And we are both very fond of Lauren Donaldson. And they got Malbet. Mal can carry a team.
The only thing they need is they need to have somebody who can run with Mal / get another nine, Bunny Shaw.
They need another prolific goal scorer. Don't do it.
Get Bunny Shaw.
Oh my God. The Chicago people, y'all are wild.
I'm encouraging y'all. Go get Bunny Shaw. You Manchester City people who keep popping in my mentions and in my DMs talking shit, you're going to suffer. Go get Bunny Shaw. Let's go do it. What's the name? Laura, also, Ricketts, go get Bunny Shaw. Go get her.
Bring her
to Chicago.
I feel like they got money because they sure did lose a lot of salaries over the past couple of years. And now they have an actual person who will spend money. But yeah, somehow that team lost their entire defense from like the last time they played in the championship. And they still are probably the best defensive team in the league right now. So
yeah.
I mean, we saw what Lauren did with Jamaica, like defense is the game. And he does. He has a superstar. And it's not just that Mal's a superstar. I don't think there's a coach Mal trusts more than Lauren Donaldson. So and she's settled and she's healthy. So Chicago, I said, like, it's going to suck to play Chicago for every team, but they legitimately might do something, especially if they get another goal scorer, consistent goal scorer.
Yeah, they need a consistent goal scorer. With the Washington Spirit, first week, it was scarily like, what the hell are y'all doing? But the second week, they brought it together a little bit. Croy Bethune is she. It does help to also have Trinity Rodman actually playing on the field at the same time.
Don't they look like they have a fucking blast together?
Yeah, they look good.
They're playing together. Buddies.
Do need Sister Star to kick the ball.
I only got to watch the highlights of this, but I love my Spirit friends. But they were on her that match. Bless.
Yeah, she needed to score. There are things she's learning and growing. But yeah, if she makes some runs, they would have cooked up the Bay. But they did end up winning. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting, particularly with whatever the shift that happened with Ashley Hatch. She was like in the midfield a lot.
They said get ready for that ticket talker, baby.
Yeah, they'll be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see when I get other pieces and they actually have their actual coach. As for the Bay FC,
I think they have very good outside backs, right? Like, I think Savvy King is good. She's still a rookie, obviously, and she's a young rookie, right? Because I think she came out school early. She's already into the dark arts, though. I was like, oh, okay. See how we're doing this. Your girl will hit the ground to buy her team some time. I respect it. And obviously, Caprice Idasco is just a world-class, I think, outside back. I'm a little unsure about what they're going to do with their center backs. To Montoya's credit, he's kind of been honest about this. They're going to press, particularly with Oshawa on your team. Like, you have a faster, intelligent, strong forward who can do that or snipe the ball, which is essentially what she did.
But in week two, like, a lot of their weaknesses got exploited. Washington,
yeah, of course.
Spirit should have had more goals, just keeping it real. But for them, they're gonna have to figure out whatever's happening in the midfield. figure out how they're going to get balls through. Definitely going to have to lean on Oshawa.
Oh, of course. That's why. And I mean, Kudunaji is still to come, right? So they'll have another very real goal scoring threat.
Yeah, but they're going to really have to protect their center backs, because that's basically how they got attacked multiple times by Washington.
The other issue for them is, and I don't know where this lies, they were missing their six. For however you feel about her as a footballer, they were missing that third central defender because Loera did not play.
Yeah. But I don't even know. But they were attacking the center backs. And they were going outside in. So, this is what I'm saying. Like, they're going to have to figure out how to protect center backs for real. But then actually how to, like, control the midfield better in general. But they got time. They're going to go through similar to Utah, they're going to go through the expansion. We got to gel together. We got to get to know each other. Because there were still a couple times even on that Oshawa could have scored that it was, like, a disconnect of, like, communication. And
absolutely,
she gonna learn through that.
I guarantee you, though, she was happier this weekend than she was last weekend.
Yeah, she wasn't running into Sarah Gordon. In terms of San Diego,
what? Okay. I'm gonna be real brief. I'm gonna try so hard to be brief. Casey Stoney is an English center back. The soccer ball is in her.
It just is.
She don't know any other way. She doesn't. Attacking football is like, get it out of my face. Now, she has Jaden Shaw, though Jaden Shaw did not start that game. I think in part it was to manage her minutes. I imagine it was also with the anticipation that she was going to get called up. And so I think Stoney is still mindful that she's 19 years old. She's still a newer pro, helping her get acclimated, making sure she's good, because she matters a lot for club and country. But I also thought it was very evident when San Diego's just a different team when she's not in there.
Yeah.
And I say that knowing, like, they scored their goal without her there. Didn't they score? Who scored it?
I don't know.
I have all the stuff up in front of my face.
And
I just don't pay attention enough. It was Jakobsen who got, like, the rebound ball.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then in the Challenge Cup, I just wish we would call it a Community Shield, like every other league. But I get it. And shout out to Ally, because the money's tied to it. But in their first game, same, right? Like, it came off of a set piece. Like, it's very evident, particularly without Jaden Shaw. Like, run of play goals are not going to be like their jam. It's given,
particularly
like her last year at United. Like, it's given me last year at United.
Right. Because particularly if you're going to keep Elise Bennett on the bench or not play
Jaden. Amira started to.
Yeah, Amira started, but then you had, it was weird. Like, it's like, can you go attack? Like, attack, you could win these games.
Well, it's so interesting because they have attacking talent.
Yeah.
But that's a defense first team. And again, the best player on that team is Naomi Gartma. So I definitely get that. You have arguably already, if not in the next couple of years, the best center back, the best defender, arguably, the United States has ever had, right? So I get that. And Stoney was a center back and Naomi's a center back. And they signed her through basically the rest of her non-free agency period. Like, so you want to take advantage of having Naomi Gartma on your team while she's there. And you want to build around that. But it's still the NWSL. Can I score goals?
Yes.
And what made them so successful in year one is, one, Alex Morgan went on a tear. And they played a lot of direct football and could lob those balls over the top because Kaylin Sheridan can also do that. But now you have Jaden Shaw and you want to play through her. And so I'm just really interested about, like, what is their plan to score goals?
Yes, particularly when you signed a certain midfielder.
Your fave.
Wait, don't do that.
She has an assist already.
She has an assist, but it's gonna be interesting. We gonna see how long that
they're playing her out wide. I don't know. Is she running out wide or is she starting? out wide. Like, I don't know, this man. Is she's a like very drifting, interesting...
She's drifting out wide and then coming back in and coming in lanes. And there, so at some point, I mean, this is Suffer Ball, Casey Stoney, so I don't know if she's going to address it, but at some point, is Savannah no pass to Alex Morgan or to Jayden or to somebody who's open? It's going to be some beefs. And so we shall see. It's Suffer Ball.
The thing is always going to be, as long as there are stars in the tack on your team, you're going to have to pass to them. Yeah. Like, that's how this works.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to work. Because, I mean, we should not be suffering, Casey Stoney. We should not suffer. You got too much
time. That's our way, though. Like, you know how many times I woke up at 4 a.m. to watch United do that shit? Like, I'm not even a United fan. Like, I stopped doing it after a while. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, she can't wait. That's how they lost to Casey, because they suffer balled when if they just attacked, they probably could have won. So,
I mean, that was a stone cold pin. Good Lord. And she benched her right after. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if she got a card for that, though. But yeah, she definitely yanked her out that game right after. I was like, dang me. She was not happy about that. And I think that game ebbed and flowed. I think, you know, you touched on KC earlier, like, I think they can move the ball well. I think they are trying to hit on the counter quite a bit just because they have those kind of players. And I'm pretty sure it was week one and not week two, but Bia just grown woman someone in these first 2 weeks. Like, Bia's physically bigger than a lot of the players in this league. And so, like, I'm interested in Gordon versus Zanarato this weekend.
Wait, hold on. We still got other teams.
Okay. I know. I didn't go forward. I was just mentioning that.
Gotham.
Well, okay. So we've seen them twice. Mm-hmm. But once was not, quote unquote, a regular season game, and it's a game they did not win. Because they, like Angel said, they just decided marking Alex Morgan wasn't something they had to do. Cool. Mark people. You can't leave people open for headers like that. They're going to make it. They're not that old, guys. And then in week two, I mean, I thought they were sound defensively. I think Portland being outside probably helped them. So,
yes.
Because they definitely broke through it. I thought their movement on offense was okay. I mean, obviously, caveat, they're missing Roosevelt. They're missing Lynn Williams.
Yes.
I mean, this can go into our rants later. Mitch Purse has to leave that game. Taylor Smith's out for the year, I'm pretty sure. So, all of a sudden, that front line looks a lot different, right? Like, this is the gift and the curse, right? And I love my Gotham people. Damn. I really do. I think it is a great story from last year. But in every sport, this is usually how this goes, right? It doesn't mean they won't recover. It doesn't mean they won't win. It doesn't mean any of that. But, like, the balancing act you have to do when you build, and I know Yael's like, we're not a super team. No, you're a super team. Like, you went and got super team players. You went and got national team players. You're allowed to do that, but you don't get to dodge it, right? Like, that's what you're doing, right? And it is one very fair, valid way to team build. There's many ways to team build. Utah's doing it different. Chicago's doing it different. Whatever. But yeah, I think at times it flowed well, but it's very evident, like, that those players did not get to do a lot of preseason together.
Yeah.
But also, I know there's other players we need to talk about. We need to talk about Yasmin Ryan.
Yeah, you need to play. She should be starting.
Yasmin Ryan is a damn good football player.
She should be starting. So, well, she might be starting for real now.
Yeah, she'll start.
But yeah, they need to play more together. Figure out what the attack is gonna look like going forward. Hope Lynn is not too hurt. Hope Rose is not too hurt.
I'd imagine they'd both be out at least through the break because it's only this weekend.
Yeah.
And just let them rest. And then again, you are now down another player. So you gotta keep the ones you got left healthy. So yeah.
All right.
But yeah, and it will flow better when they get back. But yeah.
Briefly, discuss your team. Your thoughts. Why?
We won one game and lost one game. I'm not 100% sure. I was listening to another podcast. Is it Counterpressed, I think. They said they remind him of a mid-table WSL team.
No!
And I was like, damn, that's not wholly inaccurate. Jesus Christ. but that's my team, and I'm going to stick by them. We got enough to get into the playoffs. I really, truly hope now that we finally got the sale through, that we can go get a name in the summer, because I think with this season being longer, that's enough time to turn it around. And you just got to be one of the best eight teams. You just got to be in the top eight. And I really think that's our plan. As Laura said, if I'm coaching, it's not a rebuild. I was like, wow, she put that jacket on and got bars. But hopefully after the break, Alana Cook will be back. That'll help a lot.
Yes.
I actually think Dickie's been pretty sound. I'm always going to miss Fallon, but I think Dickie's done well for herself. I think we're a solid defensive team. I just think we had a great mental lapse, which happens, and we weren't the only team last weekend that did that. As always, it's going to be goal scoring, right?
Y'all need to score. That's what it is. That's the solution.
But I will say this. They said G was going to be washed. G ain't washed.
Yeah, G's cooking like a...
G ain't the problem.
Yeah, G's cooking.
G ain't the problem. I think if you can get... Obviously, listen, it's very hard to replace what we lost, particularly with Lavelle and then Rapino retiring. I'd really like a left wing player. Who on that team speaks Spanish?
You're not about to go do that. No, she's not coming up there.
It could be a loan.
It ain't gonna be no goddamn loan. You trying to go after Jackie Ovalle? Absolutely not.
You damn right.
No. Stop it.
Okay. I need a player like that.
Well,
I'm also interested to see Meza come along, because if she hits, that also might free us up a lot. I think we need a goal scorer. We need to go get a goal scorer. I need them to go holler in Europe. They ain't gonna get girl from Hocken. They ain't doing nothing now.
Or go get Madison Haley.
Yeah, she's been really good at Brighton. She fell out of favor for a while. It's very interesting. Madison Haley, or I'd even take Olden.
Okay.
Who's doing very well in the A-League. So, just get a goal. We need that goal scorer. Somebody can just put the ball in the back of the net. Because that's been our problem for years, even when we were stacked. We really haven't had that person since Lissame, really. So, Damn, that was so long ago. I saw Mauro playing last weekend. I was like, in 2024, that's my girl. I saw a few people this weekend. I was like, they still in the league. Good for them. So I trust my coach. I think they'll be consistent enough to make the playoffs. I don't know what to think from week to week, though. We play San Diego this week. I don't know how that's going to go.
Well, you play suffer ball, y'all might win. All right. Angel City.
Okay.
So they look significantly better than last year. They actually look organized on all three lines. They need to kick the ball in the net. They've had 50 billion chances both weeks. No balls going into the net except for a penalty. It is nice actually seeing when balls flow through the midfield. And not stop. But honestly, it's really gonna come back to I think part of it is you got so many newish players playing in the midfield until you get Rocky. I guess she's coming back this week. Until you get a Rocky.
Yeah,
back,
Rocky will help a lot.
You're gonna have some growing pains. Also, people need to shoot. I need Kristen Press is back in practice, so I'm gonna need her to give a clinic on shooting. Because we need to shoot.
I need her to do that with the national team, but that's a different conversation.
Whoa, for the club, we got club right there.
I know.
Okay, need to shoot. We need to be shooting deep, shoot left, up, down, right, shoot the ball, pass and shoot. and I think they'll be all right. In terms of defense, I mean, they're playing pretty good. Vignola has a bone bruise, so she'll be out a couple weeks.
I'm really glad that wasn't as bad, because that looked bad.
Yeah.
Between her and Imani that day, I was like, these look bad. But she's not. It's not as bad for her. So I'm glad somebody didn't end their season.
So defensively, I mean, Sarah Gordon's been shutting everything down. I will call her up. Just saying.
I don't know what else she has to do. Like, I just, if she pockets Bia this weekend, I swear to God.
Yeah. Sarah's literally been shutting multiple people down. They've been like flirting with like a two back. There was one time that was, she was like a fucking sweeper. But I mean, I like what they're doing.
Hell of a sleeper.
I mean, Angel City, from even like Angel City, if you look at them and then you even look at stats and you look at passing, like it lines up, they just need to keep the ball in the net. So honestly, it's probably, I know people are freaking out because they actually play well both weeks. You know, Oshawa's, you know.
Is LaRue available for Kansas City? Or
she probably, no, she's at practice.
Oh, okay. So she flew into Kansas City. Okay.
No, they're still in LA. I mean, it ain't that far. It ain't going across country. But anyway, all I'm saying is
they flew back. They flew back from Florida just to fly back to Kansas City. Yeah, I guess.
It's not that far. Yeah. All that to say, I think they'll be fine. They just need to work through and fully get healthy. Hopefully the injury guys are on their side and you get various.
I'm not gonna lie, y'all deserve a year where everybody gets healthy. Like, yeah, y'all got a lot of injuries.
So yeah, actually they look good. They just need to kick the ball in the net. And so it would be nice if they brought it together in Kansas City. We will see.
I think Rocky being bad helps a lot, because that's very evidently your starting 10. Like, respect to Kennedy Fuller. I actually think she played well. Particularly week two. I think week one was a little harder for her. Speaking of shoot.
Yeah, that's part of why having Kristen back.
She's a child. She's 17 though. Like, I fully, I'm okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Wait. I'm saying it's good to have somebody like Kristen back, because you can see where it's just literally like, shoot. You got, well, Claire this year has been taking extra steps. It's like, girl, pass that ball or shoot. Or with Alyssa, it's like, baby girl, just shoot. Where it would help to have somebody like Rocky in the midfield, whether or not she gonna play 8-10, they go back and forth between it, whatever. It would be nice to have somebody who would be willing to shoot, but then so that when you do have somebody like Sydney LaRue, she's not drifting in the midfield.
Well, I do think this. I think with Rocky back, that helps Messiah.
Yes, that too.
Because somebody can get her the ball.
Yeah.
And she can hold it up and do that in replay. So I'm super interested to see her and Rocky, because I actually think that's going to be a really good partnership.
Yeah, but even having Rocky for Sydney, Rocky for anybody, like, it would help.
I mean, with anyone, yes, but I'm zeroing in on that also just because Messiah is legitimately a little bigger.
Yeah,
as but, for
and also I would say this is because, like, part of the issue has been because people have been running the box because some of the disconnect in the midfield. It's not as bad as the past years, but that's been part of why you haven't had the extra person, whatever. But again, this is preseason. You might as well call the first month of the NWSL preseason. We don't know what we're going to get until whatever.
Well, and it doesn't, and people get longer to work out their stuff, right? Because you have, essentially, these are the four extra games, right?
Yeah.
Like, the first four games are the four extra games. So you get that time to work out your stuff. You get a break in between. Because you're not going to get another break until, God, June?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So it's really like, okay, you use these first three games and the international break to figure it out. And then dig in for that first sort of real half of the season. You'll get to June, come back, go to the month-long break with that tournament. And then you really come back for that last, like, 10 games where everybody's going to be making a playoff push if they're in touching distance. So, yeah, it's a different season with a different rhythm. So, yeah, I don't expect to think much of any team before, like, the end of April, basically.
Yes. And even then, the...
somebody will make a late run.
Even then, something will happen in the, what you call that? The, whatchamacallit? The, what's that thing called? You know, the transfer window in the summer.
Oh, yeah, there's a summer window, too, and without a World Cup this year, like, it falls either before or after the Olympics. You have a lot of nation power, power countries, quote unquote, who aren't going to the Olympics. So I expect some more international signings to come right on through the NWSL in the summer.
All right. So next week, Orlando Pride plays Chicago. San Diego plays the Seattle Reign.
Yeah, AC, two Friday Current matches.
Plays Angel City. The North Carolina Underdogs play Gotham.
Okay. I found this on the web for KC Current plays.
Oh, Lord. Hello. Do you hear me?
I thought I lost you. Yeah. Okay.
Where is that? North Carolina Courage play
Gotham.
Portland plays Louisville. And then, yeah, the Bay plays Houston. Oh, Lord.
And that's their home opener. Should win that game because Houston's now down another defender through maternity leave. So,
and then bless up. That means Houston might win. That's how it be happening. And in spirit, I mean, play
that team is Lozier, Sanchez there, and Jane Campbell there. We gonna pray about it. That's that team right now.
Well, so I mean, well, yeah, well, yeah. So yeah, we'll see what happens in the upcoming weeks. But yeah, we are in the preseason of NWSL. Right now, we're going to take a break, and then we will come back and talk about the She Believes roster.
Jaden, this Shea Butter FC, what did you learn from this tournament, your first sort of major tournament with the U.S. and obviously coming out successful? What were the lessons you took away?
I feel like finding the balance between, you know, taking what we can from the last game and like kind of flipping a switch and be like, okay, like we have a short turnaround and make sure that we're ready for this next opponent, because we really did only have like two, three days before each game. So obviously it's hard on our bodies, but it's also like mentally you have to really stay locked in. And obviously my attention span isn't fully there yet, but I really tried to make sure that I locked in for my teammates and made sure that I could impact this team.
And then what's one thing that you know about yourself now that you didn't know before this tournament?
That I love my bed. No, I'm just kidding. I miss my mama's cooking.
Favorite dish?
Spaghetti. From my mama specifically.
All right. So we're here with Casey Cooper. So first of all, congratulations. First and foremost, what did you see on the play, your clearance?
Oh my gosh, I think that took a few years off my life. I was just hoping to get it out of the dangerous area. Everyone was talking to me around me, so that definitely brings comfort. But just trying to clear it out, honestly.
And what did you sort of see before you subbed on in the game? What was sort of the instruction for you?
Just protecting the lead was the biggest thing. A little bit of a tactical change with sitting in. I'm so sorry. sitting in a bit with five in the back. So just being smart. And these are things that, you know, we go over every single game and we're all on the same page with. So.
And then lastly, what do these wins mean now that obviously you're a mom, you have Caleb with you here right now? What does it feel like on this side of it?
There's like no greater feeling just having him be here and just cheering me on and just being able to see his smile at the end of the game. It's like the greatest feeling ever, and just also brings like such a feeling of comfort knowing that like it's so much bigger than this as well.
Oh, do you have something to say?
All right. Hi.
You want to say something?
Can you say hi?
Hi.
You want that? Is that red?
Oh, you like it?
He loves red.
Thank you so much, Caleb. Okay,
thank you.
Lynn, a few questions here for Shea Butter. So, one, you obviously subbed in at halftime. What sort of was the conversation, and what did you see, and what was your role coming in?
Yeah, I think we wanted to get a little bit more pressure on the ball, as well as, you know, Brazil was putting a lot of numbers on our back line, so putting in a defensive shift, but also being able to be an outlet going forward, and I think exploiting, like, the outside areas. So that's what I tried to do the best of my ability, is just, you know, be help on the back line, but as well as like being able to get pressure on the forward line.
And speaking of that, you're one of the best defensive forwards, yeah, I would say, in the world. Like, what do you attribute to that? What are you seeing when you go out every game?
Yeah, I think I'm just stubborn. I think that I just want to, you know, we talk about this all the time, like, don't let anybody run past you. And I think that my stubbornness, just not wanting somebody to run past me, knowing that defensively starts the attack. So if you put in a tackle, it is directly affected on the offense. And if we could do that higher up the pitch, then I think that's better than having our defenders do it. I think that defending is hard, but I would rather our forward line and our midfield line have to do it than our defender in line. That means that we are all over them. It's closer to our goal, and we're giving more opportunities to score.
All right, and then one fun one. We've been asking your teammates this. Texas Hold'em or 16 carriages?
Texas Hold'em.
Thank you. Naomi, just personally for you, you've played a lot of minutes the past three games. Where do you sort of find that extra, I don't know, burst of energy or whatever it is that gets you through all of that time?
Cortisone.
Good recovery, good treatment, some sunshine. But I think just being in a tournament, it's you have to recover and go, and knowing that that is what it takes. I mean, we're in preseason, so I think there was some management too. But I think, yeah, I think when it's a tournament, you're just like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to put myself in the best position to perform.
And then our people want to know, did Kat text you back?
Oh, yeah, Kat texted me back. And she was like, why'd you expose me like that for not responding?
Thank you.
Supporter Shield champions right ahead of the season. Is that a good way to start things off? Or
yeah, I think it was a good matchup, and it was a good way to kind of start off a final. To have a final is really cool. I think it brought energy and it brought the crowd. So yeah, I love the format of it. It was cool.
Big takeaways from the game in terms of positives. I mean, you guys really looked like you were on the front foot at times. It was a really close game. What are you guys going to take away from it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives coming from this game. We started off strong, like you said, stayed on the front foot, and then just finishing those chances, but that'll come easily as the season progresses and all like that. So I think that even though the result wasn't what we wanted, we're definitely happy with our performance and what we created and everything like that. So yeah, definitely a lot of positives.
Second largest crowd in your team's history. What do you have to say to the fans to bring them back out? It's going to be about a month until the next game.
Oh, well, keep showing up. We love you guys. This crowd was amazing tonight, and you definitely felt the energy, and that gives us so much energy to keep going. So thank you for showing up, and please continue.
How would you evaluate your own performance today?
I have a couple looks. Definitely not bad. Always want to capitalize on opportunities, and could be picky, but I'm happy with the team, and I'm happy with the looks that I got. So, yeah, just continuing forward.
You good?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Was great. Honestly, it's really a special place to be, and it was just, you know, obviously I wish the game went a different way, but honestly, that's sports, and we build on it, you know.
What did you make of how this team played tonight? All those players have been brought together, but in a way, y'all haven't actually been together for that long because so many of you were at the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge, I think, just on both sides. I mean, yeah, San Diego was going through the same thing as us, and I think, you know, the Gold Cup fell in a very interesting part of the year, but at the end of the day, we were fired up and ready to play this game, and I think we played some really good soccer, and sometimes games are won in moments, and it's just one of those games where, yeah, you look back and you're like, yeah, bummer, but, you know, we're ready for the season to officially start and kind of just build on that.
You think the building process will be able to go more quickly because before the year, you all know each other so well already?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to need a full week of training all together again. I mean, we had two going into this game, but I think, you know, we're excited for the season, and it's going to be a challenge. You know, everyone obviously is probably wondering what we're going to look like and how we're going to play, but at the end of the day, like, every game this season is going to be hard, and it doesn't matter who's on the roster. I think it's really about just bringing your A game every single game that you play in.
How many people did you have here tonight?
Oh, man, I had, you know, mom, dad, best friend, husband, baby, nanny. I mean, I had the whole gang, and I'm so excited because I think that is what is going to be the expectation every time. So I'll be yelling at my mom and dad when they're like, oh, I can't make it. I'm like, I came all the way back this way. You better be on these games. So, yeah.
I saw you look up and wave. I think it was to your parents.
Yeah.
What's that moment like? Like, what's the feeling of having a first game?
I mean, I'm 31 years old, and honestly, I've spent a lot of my career not close to home. And so I think this is really a special time in my career to also be able to just have everything come together. You know, I think soccer takes you in such crazy places and amazing places, but I think, you know, looking back, I always, you know, wanted my parents to be around more and just be able to make the trip all the time. And it's going to be a special year for me to be able to look up and actually see them smiling down at me. So
did you get the RVC sign?
I saw some Long Islanders. Yes, I saw some people. I didn't even have to go out of my way to yell at the Long Islanders to get here. They showed up on their own. So but I do understand it is not that easy to get here, you know, and it's, you know, but we're building. And obviously, I think at each game, hopefully we just keep having a lot of attendance. I think that's really my biggest goal this year, is to obviously help this team win everything, but also to really fill this stadium, because it is a special place. And I know us New Yorkers, we need to show up. So yeah.
I know you talked about this in the past, but how was this transition from the national team to club team this time around?
I mean, honestly, I'm amazed that we were able to, you know, really play a lot of great soccer today with having kind of 2 days back together. I think that speaks to coaching staff of just staying committed to kind of helping us in this transition. But yeah, it's early. You know, if we're playing great soccer today, I'm, you know, really excited for what this year is going to bring. And I think it's going to be exciting to see what every team puts together on the pitch.
What did you think some of the strengths were today, and what do you think there's room for improvement on?
This is a team that loves to be fluid and creative and loves to, you know, put people in the best position to succeed. I think a lot of players on this roster are talented in many different areas of the pitch, and I think that that is something that's very unique. And, you know, I think for us, it's just, you know, tightening up a little bit on defensive things. But, again, it's game one, and not even really game one of the season. You can argue, like, you know, we wanted to win this, of course, but it's like, you know, the season starts next week, and I think we're really excited to be able to be like, all right, we played a good game, it didn't fall our way, but let's build on it and kind of get ready for Portland.
Now that you've done it, what do you think of this format of Challenge Cup, where you have the champions playing the Supporters Shield right at the start of the season?
I think it's great, but I mean, honestly, what about if the Shield winners are the championship winners as well? Like, I'm trying to do the back-to-back. Like, what are we, are they going to cancel the Challenge Cup at that point? So, I mean, I need the answer to that question, but no, I think it's really great. I think as players, we obviously want to play more games, but I think, you know, the infrastructure has to grow along to match us in playing more games this year. So, you know, I think we're happy with kind of how it went down this year, and we'll see what the future holds.
One more question here, and then one question down here.
So today was like the soft launch, like you said, it's not the real season start, but it's kind of like a soft launch into like the home opener that's still, you know, looming ahead.
Yeah.
So what's the excitement on the team looking ahead to that?
I mean, I think for us, our excitement is just having more time together. Like it's, you know, I think the players that were in the Gold Cup with me who were on the team last year, yeah, them stepping back into this environment, they're kind of like, all right, I'm back to a familiar place. Whereas I feel like a couple of us were like, I almost have to introduce myself again. I'm like, hi, I'm Crystal. Like, I'm your teammate, you know, so I feel like this week going into Portland, I think, is going to be a really good week to just be able to reset, regroup, and get back after it.
What's it like for you going out there?
Man, I know. I was like, did they do this on purpose? They have you play Portland the first game of the season. It's going to be, you know, a mixture of emotions. I think at the end of the day, I think I, you know, had a lot of great experiences there. And, you know, my teammates, I know, are going to, my ex-teammates, oh gosh. Ex-teammates, I know, are going to be so excited. They're asking me if I'm bringing my child. And I'm like, okay, are you guys trying to see me or my son? You know, whatever. But, no, I'm excited. And like I said, I hope this is a really great week of preparation and just getting back into it and getting adjusted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christian.
One more down here for Donna.
Hi, Christian.
I guess the other question to the other player here, I'll ask you. Second biggest crowd in team history, didn't win early season. It's a month until you're back here again. So what would you have to say to the fans, what to keep their attention for that month, also to get them to show up again?
Yeah, obviously this was my first game here, so it was amazing to see the fans show up. I would just tell them that we need their energy, and we love their energy, and loved it tonight, and just continue supporting.
was a really close game. Looked like you guys were on the front foot for parts of the game there. What are the positives you're going to take away from how the team played and maybe some things that you'll work on as a team, do you think?
Yeah, I honestly thought we played together really well. I thought the combination play and just overall, like, it was our first real game. And I thought there were a lot of positives coming from it. Obviously, it sucks to lose like that, but I think there are more positive than negatives from that game.
In terms of the preseason, I mean, there's a lot of people coming in and out, people coming from the Gold Cup. It sounded like you had, I think, two trainings, everybody back from the Gold Cup. Do you feel like that really made things a little bit disjointed today? Not that you looked disjointed, but did it feel that way at times, like you're just getting used to each other still?
In my opinion, though, I think that we had time in IMG in preseason, everyone together. It was a couple weeks. And honestly, I think that we're very certain in how we want to play, and so everybody knows whoever is in that role is going to step up and do what they need to do.
How did it feel to first get on the pitch?
It was amazing. I'm just super grateful to be here and super grateful to get my first cap.
Yep, and you're also in a very diverse market with a lot of Black players on Gotham FC, so as a Black person, how do you feel about, you know, being in that environment?
I love it. I'm just super proud of who I am and can't wait to, like, be around these players and learn more from them.
My
last question for you, what do you think of the format of the champions playing the Supporters' Shield winners at the start of the season? Is that something you like? You think the team should, or the league should repeat, or what do you
think? I mean, I obviously don't have anything else to go on my rookie season, but from what I've seen, I really liked it, and yeah, I think the league's doing well.
Aside from accolades, like championships and stuff, what do you hope to accomplish in your first season?
Honestly, just to grow. I'm on a very veteran team, and there's some great players that I just want to learn from.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there was a little bit of news with your team between yesterday and today. Naomi, could you just address the sale that will happen, and it's a record sale of $113 million. You're on this team. You made this happen. What does this mean for both your team and also women's sports?
Yeah, I think it just shows how much our league is growing, how great our club has done at just planting ourselves in San Diego, and how much our previous owner Ron Burkle has invested in us and invested in our league. So I think it's really exciting, and I mean, I think for us right now, we're just focusing on going into season, and that's for a lot of other people to worry about, but we're really excited, and I think it's great for our team in the league.
All right. Hi, newbie with the Shea Butter FC podcast. Apologies if you've already answered this, Jaden, but right before you came off, you had a little ear signal to the boos in the crowd, so I just want to get your thoughts behind that.
What did Dawn say in her press conference? They weren't booing me, they were calling me boo. yeah, I mean, I've been waiting to say that for a while, actually. But no, I think that it was kind of funny. I don't think I've ever really been booed before, but I think that was kind of fun, so...
And we're back.
All right. So much has happened since the last time we recorded. Football's back in Europe, obviously. The Gold Cup came and went. Everybody's back in their markets. And it just felt like yesterday we were covering the national team, because it was, essentially. I just recovered from every 3 days. Terrible. But... next weekend is She Believes Cup.
Yes.
And so it's not like past She Believes Cups where every team plays every other team. There will be two matches on Saturday, April 6th in Atlanta. Shea Butter will be there. The U.S. plays Japan, and then Canada and Brazil. The winners will play the championship game on the 9th in Columbus, Ohio. The two losing teams will play the third place match, and that will be how positions 1-4 are determined for the tournament. So the United States has announced their 23-person roster for the She Believes Cup. I'm going to do this with some speed and without screaming or sobbing tears of joy. Okay. Our goalkeepers are Jane Campbell, Casey Murphy, and Alyssa Nair. Our defenders are Abby Dahlkemper, Crystal Dunn, Tierna Davidson, Emily Fox, Eva Gaetino from Paris Saint-Germain, Naomi Girma, Casey Krueger, whose face is apparently not broken, and Jenna Neiswanger. The only difference for... the only two differences for this are Becky Sauerbrunn did not get called in for this camp, and Eva Gaetino is making her debut. This is her first senior national team call-up. Midfield, Corbin Albert, Sam Coffey, Lindsay Horan, Olivia Horan, as they say at Champions League, Olivia Moultrie, Emily Sonnet, real thug tears right now, Lily Johannes. Forwards, more tears, sorry. Katarina Macario is back. Alex Morgan, Trinity Rodman, Jaden Shaw, Sophia Smith, and Mallory Swanson is back. Front line is where all my DEIs. That's pretty much what's happening there. I'm running with that forever now. So this roster, 19 of the players are returning from that Gold Cup W winning roster that just dispersed a few weeks ago. But the four new players are two returners. Obviously, we mentioned Katarina Macario is back for the first time in almost 2 years. Her last game was April 22nd, 2022. Yes, I know that. And then Mal Swanson is back after almost a year because we played Ireland in April of last year, and that is when she did in her patella and it moved. If you haven't heard Mal explain what happened, please go watch her on Sam's podcast. It's a lot. I'll let you go first. Thoughts and feelings on this roster.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I guess there's improvement. I guess from the forward line, it's good to see Mal and Kat back. I would have taken it as an opportunity to get another nine in. But you're going to ride the Alex Morgan wheels until they fall off.
That's happening to the Olympics because Mia officials, unfortunately, yeah. I think that was the answer to that. And then she did her ACL.
But I mean, I would try other nines. Like I would invite other nines in the pool.
Because
my issue with this is if you're going to bring in Jenna Neiswanger, like, then why are you not also bringing in Masai Bright? Just saying.
You're not bringing in Yasmin Ryan.
Yeah, that too. Like, if we're doing stuff, I'm keeping it.
She literally won back to back with two different teams.
Yeah,
was instrumental in both of those championships.
If you're like, these players perform well in the NWSL and we're giving them opportunity, why aren't their Black counterparts getting opportunity too?
So, I will say this as somebody who was in the press conference, and I think U.S. Soccer Comps, can y'all please send that recording because y'all been sitting on it for a day and a half. Like, I'm glad somebody else got it so I can write my piece. But anyway, one of the things Twyla said, like, I asked her, you know, big concept, but I was essentially getting to, is there a way for people who are not, like, in the immediate consideration but might be on that periphery or on that provisional roster, like, essentially, I'm asking, can people play their way in or can people play their way out? And she's like, well, a few performances won't get you on or get you off. But I guess my question is, how many games does it require? And they have metrics. It's not just the league. There are profiles. There are metrics they want people to hit, things of that nature. And I get that, too. And you can't pick everybody. I absolutely get that, too.
But again,
I think you should absolutely be able to play your way on or off.
Yeah, but again, like, you want other nines, so why are you
should
not
be
trying,
looking.
Why are you not looking? Or even they come in as a training player, like, fucking bring them to
camp.
Get
them acclimated, exactly. Get them acclimated to the environment.
Your midfield isn't solidified, so why isn't Yasmin Ryan being invited to the show? Because I'm watching nonsense happen on the field at these national team games, when it's literally like, Yasmin Ryan, again, has won championships with different players, with swaths of your roster, by the way.
True.
So, like, true. Why isn't she being invited into camp? It's good you recognize and saw Lily Johannes ball, and so that she's in here. And like actually player and cap tire. I'm just playing. But not.
Can't do that this tournament. Yeah.
But like, you know, when are you gonna like open the doors? Same thing on the back line. It's good to see Casey Kruger is now getting called in.
Well, it's an Olympic year, so she goes to the Olympics. It's the World Cup; they never take her to.
That's true, right? But even when we talk about Crystal, like Crystal Dunn is a midfielder, a forward. You still got her on the back line.
I know she's in a place where she's probably just resigned to her fate at this point, and it is the way she's going to get on and stay on the team. And at this point, the team's really young; they kind of need her on the team in general. But I imagine in the quiet moments, she's got to look at that midfield and be like, are you fucking kidding me? You don't think I'm better than any of them?
And to some of you haters out there who talk about she didn't perform well, bro, she was having to do, I've witnessed Crystal Dunn have to be a fullback and a midfielder and a forward in multiple fucking U.S. Women's National Team games. So
she's playing her worst position.
Yeah, she's having to play both positions, but it's just like, bro, we don't have to suffer like this. There are other actual fullbacks in the league. Y'all just said F Carson Pickett. Caprice Didasco is balling.
That's a very good shot.
And you won't call her in. Why are we
defender of the year, Caprice? Defender of the year, former defender of the year, Caprice Didasco. Okay, this is, I think, my overall. Like systemically and philosophically, right? I think we're in this mindset, and I definitely think Emma has input. I don't think Emma will feel like this is her team until after the Olympics for a myriad of reasons, both of her doing, like she's not leaving Chelsea, and you have a very finite amount of time to put a team together for the Olympics, and because she'll have like a 3-year runway on the other side of this, right, where she can really get players and mold this team in her image, using her tactics, all of that. I think a bit of my frustration, right, and this is not just about Crystal Dunn, this is about several players. Like, Jenna Neiswanger, to be fair, she does play outside back in the league. She's not an outside back.
Right.
We play a lot of people out of position with the belief that they are utility players. Here's my pushback against that. If they are a utility player, why aren't you utilizing them? Yeah. All of our utility players play in one place. Neiswanger never plays midfield. Crystal Dunn never plays midfield. Right? There are people who can play across the line. I think there's been a lot of conversation, particularly for our midfield, about we want people who can play the 6, the 8, or the 10. And I think that's great. I know it's a limited roster for the Olympics. I get all of that. But sometimes you need somebody who is a 6. You need somebody who is an 8. You need somebody who is a 10. And can still play in different formations. Just because they can play in all three positions doesn't mean they can play there well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'd rather have a quote-unquote less utility-like player who's a really good 8. I think part of why I saw one highlight film, and then obviously watched Johannes pretty regularly. I've gotten to see some Ajax. Obviously, I've seen her more in the Champions League. But like, and I think Andre mentioned this on the pod yesterday, like the profile doesn't exist in the pool or not in a way where we've called it up before. I haven't seen a midfielder just take the ball and go on a run and just people not body her. This is a 16-year-old child, by the way. She's the exact same age as my youngest niece. Like, I gotta ask her what she's doing with her life. But like, just to be able to take that since Sam Mewis, right? And I want to be very careful about putting expectations on a very young person. But it's stuff like that where I'm like, that profile doesn't really exist in the current pool. And I think we put a lot of players in positions where like their profile doesn't make sense for where they play. I think we're overthinking it. And if you have the deepest talent pool in the world, thank you, Title IX. Like, we have the deepest talent pool in the world. But I think we're realizing, like, the intentional way that we clogged this off and did pay for play didn't diversify that player pool very much.
Yeah.
Part of why Johannes can do that is because she's played in the Netherlands for 6 years.
Yeah.
We don't teach that. And so, like, I respect the utility player thing, but, like, everybody ain't Crystal Dunn.
Yeah.
Like, you keep saying utility player. I'm like, do you just mean Crystal Dunn? Because other people, most of the other players you call utility players aren't nearly as good at, in other positions as they are in the position they know how to play. And I don't think that's fair to them either.
Right.
And again, it cuts off the other talent in the pool that might exist. You got to know where to look. You got to know how to ID that talent. I don't know.
They're not IDing it well. They're not IDing it well in the NWSL, so it's annoying. This is why I'm like,
that's true too. That's true. It's across the board. It's not just yeah.
We should not be watching Suffer Ball from the U.S. Women's National Team ever in life. With the
you have to play Suffer Ball sometimes, but we shouldn't have to play it often. We're the U.S.
Right. And then my last thing is not calling in Sarah Gordon is wild behavior.
I'm genuinely.
She shut down everything. She shut down all kinds of internationals. She shut down all your best forwards. She shut down this whole forward list by herself.
Has Sophia Smith scored on Sarah Gordon recently?
I don't think so, no.
Because I don't think she's scored against Angel City before.
No. Well, she has, but it
wasn't
on Sarah.
Watch me say that. Watch me say that.
Don't do that shit. But I don't think she scored on Sarah. If she scored, it wasn't on Sarah. Similarly, it was like Oshawa didn't score on Sarah. She scored on a terrible giveaway.
There are two center backs in the NWSL that I would not want to go against. One of them's on the national team, and it's a future captain of that national team, and rightfully so. The other, Sarah Gordon. I would love to see them play together before I die.
Yes, that would be very nice.
I would love to see them to play on the United States national team before I die. Maybe 27. I don't know. Think about it. Nothing would get behind us. Nothing. Two, you can spell Naomi Girma. She might need to, y'all ask a lot of her. And I understand. And I just watched a piece on like racist language of soccer. So I want to say like engine and all this stuff. But she has a level of endurance that most people don't. So does Sarah Gordon. Yeah. Came off an ACL and was an Iron Woman. But three, and with everything going the way it's gone recently, domestically and abroad, club and country, what the fuck do we do if something happens to Naomi?
Yeah.
Nothing on this team currently replaces that. And you'll never replace Naomi, all right? But your backup plan should be person who fits profile enough that we don't have to change system. Because currently, if something were to happen, you'd have to change the way you play.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly,
and so I just think, I think they should play together. That's my ultimate argument.
Yes, they should play together. It shouldn't be no either or, because I don't even want to open the door for we gonna have one other. No, you play them together, because then even then, either Naomi or Sarah could go forward.
Oh my God. Just a center back that goes for a run. Oh, oh.
I mean, Sarah was going for runs.
I've heard Twyla say on tape, I want attacking center backs.
What's why like, have respect you been watching
to
the league?
Respect to Gaetino. I know she's done well in Champions League. I know she's like 5'10", 5'11", and God, do we love a tall. Whether they can actually head the ball or not, the aspiration is please somebody learn how to head the ball. But friendly reminder, the best header of the football we had was Julie Ertz, and Julie Ertz is not tall. Julie Ertz could jump. She's a silly athlete. And she mastered that near post flick on better than almost anybody else in football in her day. And so I get it. We don't have a ton of height. And so you want to be able to put on some ice forehead, because Lord knows we love to cross the ball in, like RIP Pontius Pilate. We love that. But tall doesn't necessarily mean good at heading the ball.
Yeah.
And I know part of that is, again, Mia Fischel's out. That was your aerial presence, right? She's very good at that. Terrible in duels, great on headers. It's a weird way to be. It's usually the opposite. But yeah, so I get that. And I get that they're bringing her in. And our coach is European, so I get that. But she's not a better defender.
Yeah, no, no.
Maybe you don't need the speed against Japan. And maybe you beat Brazil, so you don't think you need it against Brazil. You beat, I mean, should we play Canada? A game is a very kind thing to call, whatever that was. But yeah, I'm thinking about when you have to play Spain. Or Germany seems to have their shit together now. Like, if you get bullied by those players because they're bigger than you, Germany gonna hit you in the mouth. That's what they do. And then techers you to death. So yeah, I don't know. I'm always a little like, I don't completely know what the plan is here, but I think we've done some things well. And I think people are right to have reservations about bringing in a 16-year-old. Like, the US soccer has a myriad of problems. But I think we can do this well, we can do this carefully, and we can do this with intention. But I'm excited. Like, that kid can play. Like, she can play. And so I'm just really excited, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited. Our agenda, shout out to Vince and Scuffed, by the way, for being like the first people really on it publicly. Because that's who I got those clips from. I saw one clip and I was like, I am a believer. So shout out to them for being on it in a way that maybe other media outlets weren't really. And also, listen, we can't cap tire, but certain garden tools might be a little upset.
I had a Dutcher piss. They'll be all right. Builds character.
Yeah.
That's why it's
important. That's America's child. I told y'all when she hit that gritty, that is a Black American child.
Yep.
And y'all don't understand Black American children, so it's fine. I don't expect you to get that.
So yeah. So yeah, we'll see what it does. These games are getting played indoors.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
I haven't been to the new stadium.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so yeah, the weather won't. It's gonna be interesting matter. To see what happens. The weather won't matter for the first match, but if they were to win, whoever they play, I would love to see them play Canada. Not really. I would love to see Canada or Brazil
without the water.
Without the water, yeah, because Canada actually had their tactics right. The water just got
well. Hit. And guess who's back for Brazil?
Marta.
Goat. The goat.
Marta's ready to cook you. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be. I'm excited to go. Getting there and getting all the stuff has been a journey. But yeah, I'm really excited to have a squad with 9 Black players in Atlanta, which is one of the meccas of Black America, not the only one. And obviously the site, I think they're breaking ground in Fayetteville that Monday. Maybe we'll get an Emma Hay sighting. We'll see. As a Chelsea fan, I'm like, this is probably the one window I'm okay with that, at least the first game. If you ever listen to this pod, Emma Hayes, and you're gonna be in Atlanta, I'd love to chat for like 5 minutes. That's it. Not really 5 minutes, but I'd love to pick your brain. I have some questions. But yeah, I'm excited. I think it's gonna be a really great event. I think they've sold a bunch of tickets. So and I've never hung out with Footy Mob and I've never done any of that stuff, so I'm really excited.
All right, and that's all.
I would just like to say that I'm very, 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 very sad about Mitch Purse.
Yes.
She's officially announced today that she tore ACL, so she will be out for the rest of the Gotham's season and obviously will not be available for selection for the Olympics. She has very bad injury luck. And there's a lot of marriage of unfortunate events, I think, that went into that happening. But most importantly, I wish her a full recovery.
Yeah, Midge, please get better.
Yeah. Yeah, that one hurt. Like, I let out an audible gasp today. So, yeah, like, not to be a little somber right now, but there's that. And shout out all my DEIs.
Shout out to DEIs out there. Near and far.
Oh my god.
Shout out to all the people balling in the basketball tournament.
Oh, March has been madness, especially on the men's side. The women's side hasn't had that many upsets, actually. Close games, but not upsets.
Yeah.
Tennessee, please. Please.
That's your, yeah, that's your issue.
Please. It's time. Please. I'm tired. Go ahead. Sorry.
Is don't. I wish there wasn't, what do you call that? If you're going to try to market Caitlin Clark, like, please understand basketball, and it didn't start in with her. And have in the importance of diversity, in acknowledging other players that aren't white. Because even the Naismith list, not
they actually... They said, we gave you Juju, shut up.
Yeah, like...
you lucky you got Juju.
Hidalgo should have been on the list.
Hannah Hidalgo is definitely one of the four best.
Even for... if we're wanna, like, if we're talking about what Angel Reese did, like, she should have been on the list. So it's wild. Like, the list.
Maybe the contrarian.
Yeah, or even Rekia Jackson. Like, literally, oh, it's Rekia, like, are we watching the same basketball?
Ooh, I saw a lot of the timeline this weekend. Was like, are we sure Brink is going to? I think she will because it's LA.
Yeah, it's but, LA. Oh, LA is picking Brink to. LA's got to put asses in seats. So it ain't gonna be no basketball decisions. It's gonna be about who can put booties in seats. But yeah, like
that's a big gift teaspoon, Rekia. Let's go.
Oh yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's basically what's happening. But yeah, I need us to do better with the coverage because it's been really, really white.
It is, and I will. And to Caitlin Clark's credit, like even she's like, yo, like y'all I ain't
making
the first.
It hot. Y'all are making it hot.
You making her life hard at this point.
Skylar Diggins warned it about it. Kelsey Plum is warned about it. Like y'all are just making her life real, real hard. And she gonna get clipped. And she level. Don't defend. Yeah, she don't defend like that. So,
oh, they finna
touch
her up a little bit in that next level. Bless her heart. Moving, she got Leah Boston. It's the best player she's ever played with already.
WBA. They be having moving screens. They be having.
They're grown professionals, of course.
They be having moving screens that they get away with. This all kind of traps and crazy shit.
Yeah, they are the top of their profession. Like, yeah, it's gonna get harder. It's gonna get harder. But if you can shoot, probably play forever. So yeah, that tune in next weekend to the Sweet 16. It's been a fantastic tournament. It's an incredible matchup. So support all women's sports.
All right, give your music.
I just only have two. Like I said, they're current. Curbin on Curbin. I think Yaglow, Black Gorija. I just like saying it like that. I know that's not how you say it. Gloria Hallelujah. And then Beggin by a new up and coming artist, at least to me, Amaria.
Okay.
Are you opting out this week?
I'm trying to think. You don't have no songs.
That's fine. Listen, some weeks we're not feeling it. It's okay.
You have no songs.
Shout out to Rap Beef being back, maybe. I don't know. The men were in their feelings this week.
You haven't heard that album. Okay. I've been sick, so like I haven't heard.
Yeah, you really have. Like that's why we're making up for missing a week. There's a lot of it going around in Los Angeles, man.
Yes. In my case, it wasn't that. Literally, it was a food poisoning and having already sinus drainage gone bad. So, yeah. But yeah, it is a lot of... Wear your mask, people. The COVID is still out there. And bronchitis. And RSV. And all
this. There's so much. There's just so much icky things. So many icky things out here,
and
please.
Some other kind of crazy virus and respiratory infection. There's a lot of shit going on. And people getting the stomach flu.
Yeah, stomach flu. Like, listen, I think measles are back. Like, it's too much. It's too much. Bridges out here collapsing. Was everybody safe?
No.
Did they find everybody?
No, they didn't. No. Well, six people, I think, died.
I'm sorry. I did not follow up. So I'm so sorry to hear that. That was a freak accident. I mean, it hit a beam.
Yeah, it hit the support beam. Because there's a lot of people.
But they were able to get most people off that bridge.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were able to shut down the bridge. So, yeah, they saved a bunch of lives. Because I know people were making conspiracy theories. But as an engineer, I can tell you, for a bridge, if you hit the major beam, like, any bridge is not safe if you hit the support structure. That statics, that don't, whatever. So at least they warned on what they could and try to get everybody off the bridge.
Yeah.
But yeah. Please stop the conspiracy theories. Lord Jesus, don't be arguing with engineers online. Oh my God. But hopefully, much love to the families, everybody affected.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a freak. Sometimes an accident's just an accident. And it's sad. All the same, it's not inherently anyone's fault. Things shut down and lose power, and they say people do what they can. But, you know, rest in peace to the six holes and their loved ones.
Yep. And, well, yeah, that's it. What is there? What else is there?
I mean, shout out to all the people.
Shout out to all the people. All the Two Cents family.
Yes.
Street team.
Shout out to Nubia for the interviews.
Yes. Shout out to Nubia for the interviews. Shout out to the patrons.
Yes. Carolyn Nettles and Gal Pal Sports.
Yes. Sponsors.
Happy belated birthday to Leslie, by the way.
Yes. And, well, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. So I got, if we didn't mention your name, charge it to our head, not our heart. So yeah, we'll be back hopefully soon. And if you're gonna be in Atlanta, am I allowed to say ATL? No, okay.
You can say ATL, just don't say Hotlanta, or I don't know.
Okay, okay, okay. I won't say that. If you're in ATL next weekend, hopefully we get to see you. Apparently a lot of y'all are going, and I ain't know it. So
yeah, a lot of people are going. I ain't gonna be.
It'll be fun.
I'm not credentialed, so I'm gonna be in the streets. So yeah, what are we gonna do?
Yeah, I gotta. I'm doing the journalism part. Yeah, okay. Stay hydrated.
We're gonna stay melanated.
And make sure that the black women in your life, the DEIs in your life,
wow.
Celebrate.
We're gonna make sure the shea butter bombs, the DEI bombs, are always elevated. Yeah, have a great week. Ho ho ho.
Peace out.
Trying to catch a wave, we ain't in North Carolina.